Okay, we'll call the meeting to order and have the secretary take the roll.
Chairman Jones?
Here.
Vice Chair Holmland?
Here.
Vice Chair Regeer? Vice Chair Cheetah?
Excused.
Vice Chair Cafaro?
Excused.
Representative Bartel?
Here.
Representative Beatty?
Here.
Representative Fuller?
Excused.
Representative Garter?
Here.
Representative Hamilton?
Here.
Representative Hopkins?
Here.
Representative Keene?
Excused.
Representative Keough?
Here.
Representative Kerr Carpenter?
Excused.
Representative Mercer?
Here.
Representative Moore?
Here.
Representative Knave?
Here.
Representative Patelis?
Excused.
Representative Reed?
Here.
Representative Rickey?
Here.
Representative Schillinger?
Here.
Representative Stuart Paragoy?
Excused.
Representative Vinton? Representative Windy Boy?
Here.
Excused.
So we have 16 members present.
Okay, we have 16 present, and so we can conduct business. And so we'll begin with a hearing on House Bill 73 by Representative Usher. Representative Usher.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Representative Barry Usher, last name U-S-H-E-R. I'm here on House Bill 73. Basically, this fiscal note is asking for $230,000 over the next 2 years to fund a person within legislative services to staff the Criminal Justice Oversight Council. We found in the past that our staff was being staffed by DOC, so we're moving that over to legislative services. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate staying on the fiscal note. Are there physical proponents? None of any, okay. Okay, nobody physical here, proponent, opponent, or informational. So with that, virtual, do we have any virtual proponents?
Mr. Chair, we have no virtual proponents.
Virtual opponents?
Mr. Chair, no virtual opponents.
Okay, virtual informational.
And no informational as well, Mr. Chair.
Okay, with that, questions from the committee. Representative Garner. Beatty, Representative Beatty. Jeez, I'm getting old.
Thank you, Sarah Jones. A question for the sponsor.
Mr. Chair, Representative Beatty.
Representative Usher, or Mr. Chair, Representative Usher, are you aware of whether or not the Department of Corrections received an appropriation to provide this support in the past?
I couldn't quite hear your question, but I think you said, did the DOC get an appropriations in the past? And my understanding is they had a part-time person that was on a grant, and the rest of any funding would have come through their normal staff, and I don't think they designated it for this. They just used normal staff that they already had that had excess time.
Thank you, Representative. Chair Jones, a question for our staff, if they could look into just how the Department of Corrections funded this in the past.
Thank you. Joe, can you respond? Do you know?
I don't know off the top of my head, but we will look into that.
Okay, thank you. Additional questions from the committee? Representative Windy Boy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have a question for the sponsor.
Representative Usher.
Mr. Chair, Representative, I didn't see who that was. Oh, Windy Boy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative, on page 2 of the fiscal note there where it says, on number 10, where it says one FTE for the division and the annual salary benefits estimated $87,000, is this a new position or is it one of those ones that were taken from within the existing department?
Mr. Chair, Representative Windy Boy, to try and stay on the fiscal note, I believe that they, Ms. Fox told me that that would be an additional person, although I'll leave it at that.
It is, Mr. Chairman, it is the fiscal note that I'm talking about.
Thank you. Additional questions from the committee? Additional questions? Okay. Seeing none, wait, let me check online. Are there any questions online? Okay, seeing none, would the sponsor like to close?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the only thing that I forgot to mention in the beginning, that this bill is originally from the Criminal Justice Oversight Council. It's a committee bill. I just happen to be one of the members that is from the legislature, so that's how I got voluntold to bring this bill, although I do 100% support it. I just wanted to make that clear. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Usher, and thank you for being respectful of the of where you spoke from. I very much appreciate that.
No time. No problem.
Okay, with that, I guess before I leave this bill, House Bill 73, is there, again, I always ask if we can do executive action on this unless somebody wishes to wait. And if a person wishes to wait, we'll do it Monday. Okay, Representative Beattie, you want to do it on Monday. So please have whatever information you need so we can take executive on this bill Monday. With that, we will do executive action on... Oh, I guess we might as well get the more difficult one out of the road. Let's do executive action on House Bill 13.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 13 do pass.
It's been moved House Bill 13 do pass. Are there amendments? And Representative Holmland, I believe there's at least a technical.
Mr. Chair, I move House. Well, there's the amendment number is illegible. So we move the amendment to House Bill 13, prepared by Julie Johnson, do pass.
We'll call it Amendment 001. I believe it's most likely that since it's the first one. Representative Beattie, can you speak to your amendment? No, Representative Holmland, can you speak to the amendment? I apologize.
Okay. The amendment is...
Getting confused with Section E this morning.
A two-line amendment. It's on page 4, line 16. They're striking 407 in column state special, and they're inserting $407 in column federal special.
Okay, and I believe this was just a technical correction.
Technical correction, yes.
Okay, discussion on the amendment.
Mr. Chair.
Discussion on the amendment. Question on the amendment. Representative Garner.
Just a point of context. It may help the chair. I think the copper books came out today that have our pictures and names in it. And we could have extra copies delivered if that helps, Mr. Chair.
That and better glasses. You know, I just picked a good-looking one. Additional discussion on the amendment. Question has been called. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay, let's call the proxies. I believe it's is Representative Vinton, I believe.
Representative Vinton votes aye by proxy.
Okay, I believe everyone else has arrived. So, Representative Paraguay.
Representative Stuart Paraguay votes aye by proxy.
Okay, with that, the amendment passes unanimous.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 13 to pass as amended.
Okay, are there additional amendments? Seeing none, discussion on the bill. Discussion on the bill. Representative Caffaro.
Mr. Chairman, I'll be supporting this bill. While, of course, I have plenty of state employees in my district and in Helena, there's state employees all over the state. There's probably state employees in everyone's district. And what I'll say is that there was reference to state employees staying at home during the pandemic and not doing any work. And I think about the caseworkers that work with abused and neglected children. They start out at a low wage. They go into people's homes and often are in danger and take care of those children. And so during the pandemic, they're at risk. They put themselves at risk to take care of children who needed to be taken care of. I'd also like to talk real quickly about the prison guards. I believe start at 16 an hour, and the direct care workers who work in the state hospital start at a little over 10. They pay taxes. This is a negotiated contract that I think we should honor. And this money goes directly into Main Street, Montana. And last, again, during the pandemic, the people who worked in the lab, the state lab, worked 7 days a week, at least 12 hours a day, to try to keep up with testing. And for all those reasons, I stand with state employees. Thank you.
Representative Nave.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm from Columbus, and the County Commission for Stillwater County did something similar before Christmas with some COVID money that they got and spread it around. It wasn't a pay raise, but they spread it around as bonuses among county employees. The people in my county about came unglued. They called a meeting, called the commissioners to account, and made it extremely clear that we have people who have lost jobs, we have people who have lost businesses, we have people who have lost their sources of income, they cannot pay their rent, they cannot buy groceries. These people do not want government money going to people who didn't have to worry about whether or not they were going to continue to have a job. I am unable to vote yes for this bill.
Thank you. Additional discussion on the bill. Representative Hopkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, when this bill first came to committee, I had several pretty decent-sized concerns. After conversations with exec and taking a look at our direction of our revenue estimate here over the next couple of years, I feel fairly comfortable with it now. I think that it makes a little bit sense when you read it in the broader spectrum of where we're going to be heading in the next couple of years, and so I'm going to be voting for it.
Thank you. Representative Mercer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wanted to reflect back on what we did last session because I think it's helpful context. We passed the pay plan last session, and I voted for it. And the fiscal note then said that in FY 2020, it was going to take an additional $7.1 million and then about another $5.4 million in state and federal special. But in fiscal year 21, it was going to cost the general fund $14.6 million. Its estimated costs for 2022 and 2023 were $19.4 million in both of those years of the biennium. So this body 2 years ago, in looking at fiscal year 2021, in fact, did give a pay increase. And we've now come through a period of time where I think it's pretty much beyond debate that there's been a lot of economic dislocation across the state and a lot of our communities. And I think that, as Representative Nave has suggested, for us to sort of look at this bill in a vacuum and not look at what we had done historically and to really not reflect what has happened in the economy is a mistake. So in terms of what this pay plan suggests in terms of an hourly increase, I don't think it reflects the economic reality, and for that reason alone, I'm not going to support the bill. But I also want to talk about the longevity increase, because I thought we had a really good conversation about the longevity increase. And I think it's informative that in the text, you know, you can look at the existing 218.303, and that has reflected longevity increases. I got the site wrong, 218.304. I mean, we have long had longevity increases at 10, 15, and 20 years. But for the first time, we will be incorporating that for that 25-year pay, the person who reaches the 25th year of state service. And obviously, we're very interested in having people serve and serve for extended periods of time, and that's in the interest of the state. Up until this point, we've not felt that we needed to try to do something to induce service at that 25-year point. And I thought the questions and the responses that we got didn't really carry the day in terms of saying we have lost a considerable number of employees at somewhere in that band between 20 and 25, that we need this in order to retain them. I don't think that case has been made. So both components of this, in my view, have flaws, and for that reason, I'm going to be a no.
Thank you. Additional discussion, Representative Keene, and then Representative Garner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm a yes. I want to vote with the new governor on this bill, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Garner.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First, I'd like to take it into context while acknowledging the comments of the good representatives about our current economic state. This requires us to look forward, this fiscal note, and on number one assumption on page two is that House Bill 13 provides no pay increase in 2022. So as we look forward, that's what the state has negotiated with the employees. And it requires me to be more optimistic. And I am optimistic both about our governor, about his ability to execute his comeback plan for us to be in a better position fiscally in that following fiscal year. And so as I look forward, as this requires me to do, I think I will be in a position to support this because I believe and I'm optimistic that our state is going to move forward, that we're going to be in a better financial position and in an ability to support this with our state employees, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Garner. And that is a point, as we discuss it, we need to keep in mind is that the state runs on a June to June, end of June to June year. And so The fiscal years and the calendar years often confuse folks. So this year, and usually it's somewhere around the midpoint of the year that the raises occur, usually November, December, January of the state's midpoint of the state's fiscal year. Representative Schillinger.
I've heard a number of times here and in correspondence from constituents that this money will be spent in Main Street, Montana, and I agree, but it also comes from Main Street, Montana. So it's not really a net gain. It's just a matter of who gets to handle it, who gets to spend it. In fact, probably net loss in the end by the time it gets handled. And I, too, would like to support the new governor, and I intend to on a good many bills, but not this one.
Additional discussion. Representative Wendy Boyd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm also going to support this bill, you know, for no fault of their own on some of the state workers that are working forward on this. You know, they put their lives on the line as far as being on the front line. And they did what they stepped up to the plate. And I'm not saying that those who have lost their jobs are any less important. And I think that, you know, it's the difference between public and private on this particular issue. And this thing here is going to help those that are on the state plan. And I think that, we, at least for me, that I'm going to try to stand with the state employees within my district. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Windyboy. Representative Vice Chair Cheetah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I echo some of the comments made by the good rep out of Helena concerning those who are at lower ends on the pay scale. And had there been a move in a bill like this to acknowledge the lower end of the pay with an increase, it would have been much more palatable, perhaps to the level of being able to support it. But what we're seeing is that everyone across the board, irrespective of their contribution, is being rewarded. The good representative from Circle made a great point about where the monies for this come from, and it's coming out of the pockets of those people who, in many cases, lost jobs, some of them frontline folks, some of them asked every day to show up, some in my family who did that, who didn't miss a beat. Yet many people surrendered a lot of money, surrendered even lives because of the despair that was foisted upon them by what I consider overreaching edicts. But let me give you some examples of some folks with whom I've spoken about this particular bill. A 28-year-old state employee, or excuse me, a 28-year state employee who looked at the raise and said, it makes very little difference to me at the end of my career, and they're not a well-paid employee, and they said, don't think it should happen. A single mom state employee who could certainly use the additional money, who has a number of friends who have been unemployed, one of whom is losing their benefits next week, who would love to have the increase, but says, I can't do that to my friends. It's wrong for me to do that. A young married couple with one child, they lost about 20% of their income, and that resulted in some help from family. And having been on both sides of that issue, having received and offered help, I know the difficulty of that. But in this case, it provided some significant financial impact on their parents. A single female waitress who lost 50% of her income and is now going to be asked to contribute to a pay increase for somebody who's making 60% more than the average person in the state. And finally, a business owner forced to close down their business due to cutbacks in their hours of operation through no fault of their own. These were edicts foisted upon them. They weren't given a choice. They were told by the former governor and by health officers, you can't do it. So they had one of two choices, either run in violation of the overarching or overreaching edicts and have lawsuits filed against them and had their business shut down that way, or go along with the plan and wind up losing their business anyway. So a rhetorical question for everyone on the committee, and you know, I understand there are going to be a number of reasons why people are going to vote the way they do, but I'm asking, how do I or how do we explain the pay increase other than to tell people that this increase was forced upon this current administration and upon us by the former administration? So to the good representative in Butte, you're not necessarily voting with this current administration. You're voting on behalf of the former administration who negotiated this back in August. And it's unfortunate that we are the recipients or the beneficiaries of this. So I unfortunately cannot support this because of promises I've made to people like this that I listed as examples, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Additional discussion from the committee. Additional, Representative Moore.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm going to rise in support of this bill today with some reluctance. I'm frustrated, frankly, with the process that things that were negotiated in last fall And here we are making decisions for something that's 18 months from now. And given the uncertainty in the world, I'm really troubled that we're having to make commitments and convictions and appropriations that are firm for something that's 18 months from now. And it's really a problem with the process. And I'm troubled by that because we're in a world where times are changing ever so quickly. Who would have known a year ago today what last year held? But nonetheless, this isn't the bill for me to change the process or for us to address that. So I am going to go along with the former administration as well as the current governor and vote for this. Thank you.
Additional comments? Okay, seeing none physical, give me a second here. Seeing none virtual, I guess I would simply have one. I, too, am going to support this bill. I've had numerous conversations with the executive on this topic, and they've indicated they wish to embrace this pay increase to stick with the negotiated agreement because they felt it was fair. It was fair given that it was zero in the next fiscal, June to June of the following year, and it was 55 cents or 1.61%, I believe the number was, in the following year, 2023. These amounts were substantially below inflation. Moreover, they had felt and indicated they wished to treat the employees that were there fairly, and they felt this did so, in particular given that they were planning to impose a 4% vacancy savings, which would reduce potentially 400 employees for a savings of around $52 million. And so since this executive indicated this was part of their plan, their comeback plan, and this is the way they wish to proceed, I too plan on voting with the governor and his request on this bill. With that, roll call vote.
Vice Chair Holman?
Yes.
Vice Chair Regeer?
Yes.
Vice Chair Cheetah?
No.
Vice Chair Cafaro?
Yes.
Representative Bartel?
Yes.
Representative Beatty?
Yes.
Representative Fuller?
Yes.
Representative Garner?
Yes.
Representative Hamilton?
Yes.
Representative Hopkins?
Yes.
Representative Keene?
Yes.
Representative Keough?
Yes.
Representative Kerr Carpenter?
Representative Kerr Carpenter votes yes by proxy.
Representative Mercer?
No.
Representative Moore?
Yes.
Representative Nave?
No.
Representative Patelis?
Yes.
Representative Reed?
No.
Representative Rickey?
Yes.
Representative Schillinger?
No.
Representative Stuart Paragoy?
Yes. Paragoy.
Representative Stuart Paragoy votes yes by proxy.
Representative Vinton?
Representative Vinton votes aye by proxy.
Representative Windy Boy?
Yes.
Chair Jones?
Yes.
Looks like the motion passes.
20-4, is that correct?
19-5.
So the motion passes 19-5. So the bill will report out. With this, let's take a look at House Bill 55, please.
Mr. Chair, I move that House Bill 55 do pass.
It's been moved that House Bill 55 do pass. Are there amendments? Representative Keene.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have an amendment for House Bill 55, and I guess the numbers on the bottom of it say HB 55.1.1, and what the amendment does is it puts a new section in there, and legislative intent is the intent of the legislature that the Department of Transportation implement the provisions within the existing resources, Mr. Chairman. That's what the amendment does. We just finished with the transportation in our section. There's substantial money for them to put whatever colored lights. LED lights are a lot cheaper than lights that are currently used on the truck, so, and I believe they have plenty in the maintenance budget to both correct this on trucks that come in, and there's no reason to take this out of the proprietary fund at this time, Mr. Chairman. So that's my amendment.
The suck-it-up amendment.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, this is a suck-it-up, and I hope to have a lot more of them this session.
All right. Discussion on the amendment. Question's been called for. All those in favor indicate by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Amendment passed. Oh, got to call the proxies.
Representative Kirk, Mr. Chairman, Representative Kirk Carpenter votes aye by proxy. Representative Stuart Paragoy votes aye by proxy.
Representative Vinton votes aye by proxy.
Motion passes unanimous.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 55 do pass as amended.
It's been moved do pass as amended. Discussion on the bill. Discussion on the bill. Okay, seeing none, question has been called. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Okay. I don't hear any nays. Nope. Call the proxies, please.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Kirk Carpenter votes aye by proxy, and Representative Stuart Paragoy votes aye by proxy.
Representative Vinton votes aye by proxy.
Okay. And the bill passes out unanimous. So that closes executive on that. I don't believe, because Representative Beatty wants to hold the next bill here, we will take executive on that Monday. I know we had two bills assigned to us for Monday. There will be no appropriations tomorrow. We don't have anything with notice requirements. We don't have anything we can work on. So enjoy your weekend, and we'll be up. Representative Cafaro.
Mr. Chairman, I have a quick comment, if I may.
Representative Cafaro.
Mr. Chairman, while members of the committee, some of them voted differently than I did, I really appreciate their concern for low-wage workers. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Cafaro. Is there any other comments or discussion for the good of the order? Comments or discussion for the good of the order? Thank you all for a good hearing, and we are adjourned.